are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at Lighthouse Chapel International Memphis by Reverend Kodra Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you enjoy this anointed word.
With your people singing praises, I love to stand and rejoice.
We know that all things work together for good to them who are the Lord, to them who are the called. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man. The things God has prepared for those who love Him. You must love the Lord. Give Him all your heart. You must love the Lord because it's the greatest commandment, child of God. You must love the Lord. Give Him your very heart. You must love the Lord, my child. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I'll set Him on high because He has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer. I'll be with Him in trouble. I'll deliver Him. I will honor Him. You must love the Lord. Give Him all your heart. You must love the Lord because it's the greatest commandment, child of God. You must love the Lord. Give Him your very heart. You must love the Lord. Ooh. Oh. Your Lord and He's your God. He's your Creator, your Savior. He died for you cause He really loves you. You must love the Lord. Give Him your very heart. You must love the Lord because it's the greatest commandment, child of God. You must love the Lord. Give Him your very heart. You must love Him. You must love Him, sweet Jesus. Give Him your very heart. With long life He'll satisfy you and show you His salvation. You love Him. Oh, love. world, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Oh, put your hands together for the Lord. Better. You can do better than that. You can do better than that. You can do better. Let's rise to our feet, please. In honor of the presence of the Lord and His Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hand and say, Lord, I am surrendered to your spirit. I am surrendered to your anointing. Use me. Exhibit your abilities through me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we bless your name. We thank you. We give you glory. What a good God that you are. We know that in of ourselves, we are not sufficient. Our sufficiency comes from you. This morning, we come for top up guidance, wisdom, direction, salvation, your power. Thank you that we have it all packaged in your mighty Holy Spirit through the word. Speak to us and to edification and comfort. Prophesy. Decree things that we would never have thought about. Whatever you prepare for us, Lord, we're ready. Clean our hearts. Have mercy on us. I bind every work of Satan, and I pray that your word will have free course. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here to do it. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus Christ. Clap for the Lord Jesus Christ. Give some 3 people a high five. Tell them, I it's good to see you. Tell them, God bless you. Tell them, I love you. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug. Give somebody a smile. You can even give somebody a kiss. A holy kiss. You can kiss somebody if you are pure enough. If you are not pure, don't do it. A kiss of charity. Hallelujah. Tell the person, in this church we kiss, because the Bible says kiss with the kisses of charity. Hallelujah. The Bible says to the pure all things are pure. Please, if you are not doing anything, please be seated. You know, if the video is not working, then be seated. Just come and sit down. Yeah. Just be seated. I don't want any movement or any... please. Come join us right here. Just sit by. Yeah, don't be afraid. Sit down. Hallelujah. Amen. What a blessing. Tell somebody, I'm blessed to be sitting by you. Your smile alone has made my day. Not only for your husband. Some people are trying to settle scores from home or continue what they started. No. By this, the Bible says, John 13 and verse 34, I believe, it says that by this, I think verse 35, shall all say, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. You know the way he loved us? While we're yet sinners, Christ loved us. So if you're loving only people who are doing the right thing, you are not in the love of Christ. Yeah. The love of Christ is exhibited in your ability to love your enemies, to love those who are funny, to love those who are difficult, to love those, you know, when your spouse is the most outrageous, that's when your love arises. That shows you are a Christian. Clap for the Lord Jesus. One man of God said to a very anointed young man that, you know, I don't believe in your Christianity until you are married. He said, your anointing will really be tested after marriage. That is where, in close proximity, you are living with an offense vendor, offense factory. And you can't run away because it may be raining. It may be winter. Hey! But thank God that Christ teaches us that. Put your hands together for Jesus one more time. So today, we want to celebrate love. We're celebrating love. Valentine is for love. The unbelievers brought it up. But just like Easter, which is a pagan festival by the goddess Yster, that's why we use the eggs and the bunny and all that. But the Christians took it up to celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ, which was also around the same time, so that when the pagans are celebrating, the Christians don't have to be contaminated by getting involved. That's what why we do this Valentine celebration. So please don't write a memo to me, why are we celebrating Valentine? Well, I explained to you. The Bible says that to those without the law, you behave as though you are without the law. Why? So that by all means you may win some. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Tell somebody it's about winning souls. So this is a soul winning campaign. But today we want to, brother, be alert. Okay. But today we want to come to the Lord's word. Amen. I want to hear the voice of the Bible. Clap for the Lord Jesus. The voice of the Bible. You know, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And, you know, without going too much backward, we know that the Holy Spirit, based on our teachings, is the absolute replacement that Jesus Christ gave us through the Father gave through Jesus Christ, so that we can have portable Jesus Christ with us all the time. Someone say, portable Jesus. You know, because Jesus Christ said in John chapter 16 and verse 7, John chapter 16 and verse number 7, says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Amen. Now, Jesus Christ was there for the disciples. He would raise the dead. He will heal their sick. He will preach to them. He will give them direction, wisdom. When their food is finished, he will conjure some magical activities and 5,000 people will be fed. Miracles, signs and wonders. Now, when his ministry lasted 3.5 years and he died, everybody was ridiculing the Christians. It was like it's over, including the disciples themselves. At a point, Peter said, you know, the Savior is gone. What shall we do? And he told the disciples, I go fishing. And you know, foolishly, the disciples, in all simplicity, also responded, we go a fishing too. We go with you. Yeah, there's nothing to do. We are not doing any works of God, any works of Christ. He's come to do his miracles. Let's go away. Little did they know that the ability of Jesus Christ was not just in the physical Jesus, but the spiritual Jesus was coming through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when he would come, that ability would be shared among believers such that they can behave like Jesus Christ. Why? Because Christ was going to be with them in a portable form. Jesus only settled in Jerusalem or wherever he went when he was alive on this earth, carrying the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But once he died, he went to the Father, and as he promised, he brought the Holy Spirit. And all Christians at that point who believed in the upper room, 120, apart from women and children, they all received the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, Bible says that they were all together in one place, and it came. You see, so Holy Spirit came and equipped all of them with the same abilities. Peter, who was a coward, preached, and 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus Christ. That was the power of God working through the abilities given to man. Today, you shall be that kind of Peter in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible says that I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. John chapter number 14, from verse 15 through 17. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That word is allos paracletus, another of the same kind, that he may abide with you forever. Even, who's that? The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody who has not received Jesus Christ cannot receive the Holy Spirit. The prerequisite for receiving the Holy Spirit is receiving Jesus Christ. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Reason, they have not received Jesus Christ. That is why it is important to be born again and to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You see, when the Bible says in John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power. What's that power? The Holy Spirit. To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You are that kind. You are the one with that power. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, or does not recognize Him, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, Christians, you know Him. You know the Holy Spirit. You must at least know Him. God has assumed that Christian church knows the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, the church does not recognize the Holy Spirit. We don't talk about Him. We talk about prosperity. We talk about marriage. We talk about relationships. We even talk about love, nice things like love, joy. Talk about miracles, signs and wonders. But we never recognize the agency through whom all these things come. The agent, the personality of the Holy Spirit. A Christian who does not speak about the Holy Spirit is equivalent to a Christian who does not speak about Christ. Yeah. Because Christ left and said, whatever I'm doing, I'm no longer going to be doing it. It's the Holy Spirit that will come and do it. I have been replaced permanently. Forever. He said it. He said it. Because He said, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He shall dwell with you and shall be inside of you. Then the next verse, He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. New Living Translation says, I will not abandon you as orphans. That means a Christian who doesn't have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is like an orphan. You are naked, uncovered, unequipped, valueless. You've been let loose and let go. You've been fired from your original position. Your status is gone. Every child, you have no status other than that which originates from your father. When you're orphaned, you're finished. Because you can't work. You don't have any skill. You have nothing. You've never bought a house. You never even know. You don't even have a credit card. Yeah. At least if you don't have money, credit card can work. You don't even have. That's how a Christian without the Holy Spirit is. So sorry, so pitiful. An orphan, bastard, unaccompanied, neglected. Yeah, it's like a reject. So Christ seemed to think or assume that the church will know Him. He said the world cannot receive Him because they don't know Him. And they don't care. They can't receive Him. But you know Him. But is it true? Is it really true that you know Him? His assumption must not go to waste. That's the reason why we've taken this month to reintroduce the man of the moment in Christianity, the Christ of today. I present to you your Christ, the Holy Spirit. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Your Christ, the Holy Spirit. Your portable Christ. You may not be in Jerusalem. You may not never have seen Him, but you know Him. He who we have not seen, yet we love, because you know Him by His Spirit. Jesus Christ is here in spirit. So I never in my Christian life, not one day, do I not mention the Holy Spirit. And my life, I live a supernatural life. My life is superior to the natural life. Yeah. And anybody who lives, like the disciples, they didn't live a normal, they lived a supernatural life because Christ was with them. Peter would go out and catch nothing. And in Luke 5, Jesus will say, just cast your net to the right side. And when Peter said, I've toiled all night and I caught nothing. And you, inexperienced carpenter, little boy, your father is the one who's a carpenter. You were used to carry tables. When your father was doing carpentry, you were in the church, praying and analyzing things. You even got lost once when they were traveling to do carpentry. They looked for you for 3 days. You were not in another carpentry shop. You were not fishing. We find you in the church discussing with rabbis. What have you got to do with fishing? But he said, nevertheless, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will cast that net. And they cast it. That was the biggest catch. Ladies and gentlemen, you believe in those miracles of bumper harvest? Yes. You believe in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000? Yes. You believe in the miracle of raising the dead? Yes. You believe in the miracle of the sick getting healed? Yes. Then I assure you and I present to you that miracle is still here. Yes. But it's here in a portable Jesus, the Holy Spirit. That power is still around. That power is still around. And you can hear a voice that tells you in your job, do it this way. Whenever I'm doing procedures and I'm stuck with difficulty, I say in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, let's do it. You won't believe it. Just like Peter was told, cast your net on the right. I feel, do it this way and it works. Clap for the Lord Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit is still here. Christ is in portable form. You don't need to have a passport to Jerusalem. You don't need to have money to travel. He will dwell with you and will abide with you. Yeah. But what have we done with the Holy Spirit? Package him and put him aside in the storage. Our Christian is almost operating without gas, our Christianity. The gas of Christianity, the power of Christianity is not your nice dresses to church. It's not in it, it's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So the Bible tells us that he will come to us as the Holy Spirit. And we've been sharing steps to this anointing. We said the Holy Spirit comes in, can present in three forms. The Holy Spirit inside of you, which is the Spirit of God inside, that makes you born again. I'll give you a new spirit and replace your old heart with a new heart so that you can obey his word in Ezekiel 20, 36, 26, 27. So that Holy Spirit inside of you gives you the nature of God and the character of God. Yes. Yeah. Anybody who is born again has a spirit inside of you. What does it do? It gives you, it makes you a new person. It gives you a new character, the character of God, the nature of God. It's nice to live with a Christian, true Christian, very obedient, very holy, very loving, attributing the fruits of the Spirit, love, faithfulness. A real Christian will never be unfaithful to you. It's the truth. I told you, his seed is in him. He cannot sin. It's hard to sin. Holy Spirit, when you nurture the Holy Spirit for a long time, he grows in you and now represents your life. We call it the fruits of the Spirit. Your lifestyle is a lifestyle. It's as if God is living. When they say God in us, Christ in us, it's true. Christ in us, the hope of glory. God lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit inside of you. Yeah. It's nice to be here, and then you should bring your phone and leave it here and then walk away. Nobody should be able to steal it if we have the Holy Spirit. That's truth. And it will not happen in Jesus' name. Nobody will steal your wife. Nobody will steal your cell phone. Holy Spirit inside of us. Then the Holy Spirit, that is with us. God with us. That's the power of. So that's the Holy Spirit. The God with us is the presence of God. Yeah. Where sometimes you feel, I don't know, real Christians, sometimes you are alone, but you feel there's somebody with you. It's the Holy Spirit. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. As who? A dog? You carry a dog? No, because of your security guard? Bodyguard could not save Whitney Houston. Yeah. He was given a shot, and the next shot would have killed her. Yeah. What is it called? ADT or ATT or AT&T or whatever. It cannot save you. It will alarm the people, but it can never save you. God with us. That is the kind of presence that delivered Daniel from the lion's den. And it will deliver you. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. And finally, God upon us, Holy Spirit, which is the anointing, which is God's ability given to man. So the same way Jesus will lay hands on the sick, they will recover. If you are anointed, you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. And it's not for pastors. It's for Christians. If you like, look at Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. Did he talk about pastors? No. He says, Mark chapter 16, from verse 17. Mark chapter 16. And these signs shall follow pastors. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Is that not so? Oh, I thought. And these signs shall follow prophets. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Somebody has glasses. Maybe that's my problem. Sister, let me check. Please help me a little. You know, I forgot my glasses. I'm so sorry. You're a nice girl. You know, I like your red. Oh. Okay. Come on now. And these signs shall follow them that believe. It was my glasses. So it's for believers. It's for believers. It's for believers. I told you the believers and the receivers are the ones who have the Holy Spirit. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Don't run away from devils. Cast them out in Jesus' name. Cast them out. These days, I see frustrations as spirits. And I mention their name and they go. Yeah. Yeah. You begin to frustrate me. I rebuke the spirit of frustration. I rebuke the spirit of opposition. I rebuke the spirit of quarrelsomeness. There was one day that I rose up. My wife had been having issues with me. No, she had been quarreling with me, not me with her. For about a week long. It's like rain, that last rain. Every day a little, every day a little. One day I woke up and I saw, you won't believe it, I saw an animal in my room. About 2 a.m. at my bed. I said, hey, what are you doing here? Initially, I was filled with fear. Then strength came. I said, in the name of Jesus, I cast every spirit of arguments out of here. Look, that animal flew out never again. And I've had a nice marriage since then. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You sit down and go negotiating. Pastor, what do we do? And go to counselors and things. The devil is working at you. And you have ignored the Holy Spirit. So you are going to whatever counselors of the world. One portable Jesus is with you. One portable Jesus is with you. Come on now. You shall be anointed in Jesus' name. You shall be anointed in Jesus' name. So we talked about 7 reasons why you must be anointed. Now, number one reason is that you must be anointed because no one can fulfill the ministry by natural might or by human power, only by the Holy Spirit. All right? So God has called all of us ministers. You know, once you have you are a Christian, God saves you that you may save others. Saved to save. Comforted to be comforting others. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4:6 says, the B-part says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. It's not by might, nor by power. Okay, so you can't do anything ministry, whether it's ushering, whether it is give food to the hungry, feeding the poor, or going to the prisons. That's ministry. Loving somebody. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Number two, you can't win souls without the Holy Spirit, you know. You can't. You can invite a friend, but the person will never be changed. Yeah. You sitting here like this. I can't keep you without the Holy Spirit. Hey! You know yourselves. Hey, it's not easy. But because of the Holy Spirit, you have become very pleasant. I really like you. Patricia. Anne-Marie. Emilia. Look at Barbara. Even Casey. Especially Lindsay. Clap for the Lord Jesus for the transformation. It's by the Spirit. Number two, you must be anointed because even Jesus Christ waited to be anointed before beginning any form of ministry. Yeah. Bible says in John, we already in Luke chapter 3, that he was baptized and then the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. He said, "This is my only begotten son. This is my dearly beloved son, my beloved son. Hear ye him, or in him I am well pleased." Okay, so that's when he began his ministry. He couldn't. He could not do it without it. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. You need portable Holy Ghost power, Jesus power in your life. Even Jesus needed it. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Christians are not orphans. God is with us by the Holy Spirit. Number three, you must be anointed because even the apostles were asked to wait for the Holy Spirit. That's the anointing before beginning anything in their Christian life. Anything. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. We read that, right? Acts chapter 1. Bible says, "And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Baptism means to be immersed. Christians should not just have a casual interaction with the Holy Spirit. You must be immersed. You must be deep into the Holy Spirit. You must be into Paul. You must be into the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah. You know what? They say somebody is into drugs. I mean, that means we're doing it well. Yeah, I mean, they are into alcohol. They drink and they sleep. And they sleep in the gutters, in the drink. The following day, they don't even know what happened to them. You tell them, "Hey, I saw you yesterday and you made the whole party nice." Say, "Me? I'm a shy person." And true, he's a shy person. We call it, in medical science, we call it alcoholic blackout. It's a sign of deep drinking. I mean, you drink your body to blackness of darkness. Christians need to be able to get into the Holy Spirit to a point where, you mean I preach and I witness to all these people? I'm a shy person, but I can preach like that. I have that spiritual blackout. Bible says that be not be filled with wine, wherein is excess, but rather be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is... That means that what happens to alcoholics must happen to you when you drink the Holy Spirit. Well, clap for the Lord Jesus. This kind of casual, you come to church and they talk about Holy Spirit and you go home and you go and sit down. It doesn't help. You must be going, "Holy Ghost, help me at work. Holy Ghost, I need you in my house. Holy Ghost, I need you when you are doing your exam. I write my exams with Holy Spirit." Oh, yeah. I've not written one exam since I became a Christian. Look, I don't fail exams. By the grace of God. Yeah. I have portable Jesus with me. I will never... When the Lord says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you," He's expecting us to also say in reciprocation, "I will never allow you to leave me nor forsake." And I will never leave you nor forsake you. Me. Yeah, you can punish me. I will not let go of the Holy Spirit. This is what really moved God when they said everybody should bow to the idol. And the Hebrew boys decided no. Said, "Lord, you will never leave us nor forsake us." They said that let it be known unto you to the king that our God is able to save us. But even if he does not, we will never bow to your God. We will never bow. We will never bow. We too will never abandon God. Tell somebody, I will never abandon the Holy Spirit. I will never let go of the Holy Spirit. That thing impressed God so much, they put them in the fire. Three people. By the time they watched, a fourth person was inside. The Holy Spirit's presence is like a human being that is with you. If only you will acknowledge him. I will acknowledge him. It's time to acknowledge him. It's time to receive him. It's time to recognize him. And these guys, your Christianity is not working because you have not begun. The disciples were told, don't start Christianity until you have acknowledged the Holy Spirit. They went and waited in the upper room for some time in prayer, waiting. The Holy Ghost came upon them. That was it. They were never the same. Never, never the same. That's why the Bible says in Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that you may be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth or the world. Hallelujah. I will not do anything without the Holy Spirit. It's damaging. It's foolishness. It's self-cheating. It's giving yourself the short end of the stick. Short-changing yourself. As a Christian, you have every right to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Just like somebody who has a phone, you know, and it's stuck at the, you know, roadside and it's stopping every car. Please, can you please go and get roadside assistance for me? Or you have insurance and it has roadside assistance to it. You have a cell phone, you can't call. You don't know. Ignorance is bliss. I don't think it's bliss, it's foolishness. But we are not ignorant. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Number four. You must be anointed because great prophets like Elisha. Ask for the anointing when given the opportunity to ask for what they wanted. He asked for the anointing when he was asked, what do you want? I want the anointing. I want the anointing. What do you want? I want the anointing. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Wow. I mean, a great man of God. I'm sure he had chariots. I'm sure he had house boys and he has servants. He had money. I mean, those days, prophets, when you come and see them, you have to bring some money. You come and preach, you don't bring me any money. You come and... No, those days, Saul went... Hey, sister. Those days, Saul went and was trying to see the seer. Say, no, the servant said, I don't have any money to give him. You see? So he must be rich. He didn't ask. Elisha didn't ask for his money, for the chariots, for the servants, for anything. He said, let the double portion of the Spirit of God upon you be upon me. Christians, if you have anything that you must be greedy about, I would say this servant is very greedy. Your master, it's at a certain level, is about to die. And instead of becoming like your master, he said, I want to be greater than you. Yeah. But the Bible says that covet earnestly the best gifts. Spiritual gifts, you are allowed to covet. Covetousness is allowed in spiritual things. That is why when Jacob was greedy for the birthright and for the blessing, God didn't have a problem with it. In fact, he said, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. Because Esau was ridiculing and throwing away and selling spiritual things for just a bowl of soup. Yeah, and that's how some of us behave. Yeah, I mean, for a bowl of soup. Can you imagine? Some of us are selling out the Holy Spirit for some sex act. Yeah. And God said, this guy values spiritual things, values the anointing, values spiritual things. Although he says he's stealing a good thing. Yeah. And God said, and meanwhile, Esau said, it's nothing. What's the big deal? Take it. Take it. Is it not eating? Is it not? Well, food is better. Food is much better than anointing. Food is much better than spiritual things. Take it and go. No wonder. What Esau did not know was that when you give up spiritual things, you are giving up the blessing that goes with it. And when it came to the blessing, God ensured, you've given the birthright, you won't have the blessing. You've given up the Holy Spirit, you won't have any power. That's why Christians are weak. Christians don't even know how to pray. Do you know if you acknowledge the Holy Spirit, you'll be one of the most powerful prayer warriors? Do you know if you would acknowledge the Holy Spirit, you will have some of the greatest revelations when you read the Bible? Do you know when you acknowledge the Holy Spirit, you will never sleep in church? Do you know that when you acknowledge the Holy Spirit, you will have supernatural power and wisdom? That when you speak, people will wonder, where did you hear all this? Christians are supposed to be very powerful. And Elisha and people like Jacob, they recognized it. And when they were asked, what do you want? They went for the Spirit. Elisha did miracles. Yeah. You know, by the time he came back, and he said, you know, and verse 2, so verse 9, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, when he said that, I want a double portion, and it came to pass, verse 10, when he said, I want a double portion, and he said, you have asked a hard thing. We want cheap Christianity. We want Christianity, we just come to church and go. We don't want to come for prayer meetings. We don't want to fast. There's no sacrifice, no desperation in your heart for the presence of God. We don't want to walk holy. Come on now. You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken away from you, it shall be so unto you. And then verse 11, the Bible says, and it came to pass. Somebody say, it came to pass. It shall come to pass in your life. As they went on and they talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted both of them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Then, the next verse. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the anointing that you need sometimes rests on a father. Rests on a man of God. Coveted. The chariot of Israel. When we sometimes present, one of the reasons why I am so close to Bishop Joel and Bishop Doug and all their, you know, ministry material, videos and audios and the blessings, that is because they carry anointing. They carry anointing. And anybody who has a problem with that kind of ministration, you don't know about the anointing. Amen. It means you don't know about the anointing. But Michael, yeah, do some spiritual work. Amen. Now, what it means is that, and the horseman thereof, and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, rent them in two pieces. Then something happened. A mantle dropped. The next verse. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Now listen to this. And he said, took the mantle of Elijah that fell, smote the waters. Miracles are beginning to happen. Anointing is manifesting. Says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? In other words, where is the portable God? Come to me too. And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither. And Elisha went over. You will do miracles with the anointing. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Now listen to what had happened. And when the sons of the prophets, who were initially ridiculing him, were to view Jericho, they saw him. They said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and they bowed themselves to the ground before him. You will be saluted because of the anointing. You will become great because of the anointing. You will be recognized because of the anointing. You will be received better because of the anointing. Some of you at your workplaces, if you are anointed, you will be promoted. I'm telling you. Because the anointing is also the spirit of might or greatness. But pastor, the anointing is only for breaking of waters and casting out demons. Really? Let me show you something that will surprise you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. How many know about the grace of God? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the Bible. It's in 2 Corinthians 13, 14. It says, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you bring up what the Greek word for that word communion? And the love of God and the communion, bring it up, of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Now, that word there, communion, is the Greek word koinonia. Koinonia. Amen. It's the Greek word koinonia. Do you know what koinonia means? Koinonia means if you have a good Bible and you click on that word, it will show you the Greek for communion is koinonia. And it means koinonia. See, Paul said, let the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, everyone, without exception, all Christians. All Christians should have communion of the Holy Spirit. Give me the dictionary definition of communion. Anybody? Well, it's right here. Koinonia. It means to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You know, as, Martin is sitting there, I'm not having fellowship. But now to have fellowship, I have to join him. Come, let's have fellowship. Come. See, it means you should be interacting with him. We should be chatting. Should be relating with the Holy Spirit. Communion of the Holy Spirit should be with every Christian. Let the communion, that's fellowship. The original word is a part of speech. It's a feminine word. You know, so if you're feminine, it means, when they say feminine, it usually means, romantic, love, intimate. You all say intimate fellowship. Intimate fellowship or rapport. You must be into the Holy Spirit. That's why they said the baptism. Listen, don't be casual with the Holy Spirit. Have intimate fellowship or rapport. Intimate, romantic. I love you, Holy Spirit. I say it many times. Said you are very nice. I even say good morning. How are you? Man, this day I want to smile. You know, let's go. And then sometimes let's go, Holy Spirit. I say it. Let's go. You think I'm crazy. You think when somebody is in love, you think the person is crazy. What happens at honeymoon? You think they are crazy. Yeah. There's intimate fellowship and rapport. Yeah. Oh, no, serious. How many have been to honeymoon? Okay. You see, the two people, they are discussing it. They are reminding us. Clap for them. Clap for them. Yeah. I just reminded them of how crazy things were. Now, it says, it means, short definition, participation. Let the Holy Spirit participate in your life. It means participate, to participate. Be a part of your life. It means to commune, to have fellowship. It also means, where is it? The partnership. Let the Holy Spirit be partners with you. Partnership in your job. Partnership in your ministry. Partnership in your prayer life. Partnership in your raising of children. Partners. It's not me. We are partners in this. It means contributory help. Do you know? I don't know why they changed it, where he got it from, but that word there is pecuniary. I don't know where he got his version. But the word originally says pecuniary help. Do you know pecuniary? As it relates to finances. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Pecuniary. So, believe me, when the Holy Spirit comes with the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of power, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, The spirit of might, he's making you great. He's adding value to you. Listen, when somebody has the Holy Spirit to the point of becoming a nice person, because you have a lot of love, joy, faithfulness, even your marriage is sweeter. And by the way, your boss will like you because you are a nice person. You are a pleasant person. And by look, it's nice to relate with somebody who has the Spirit of God. That's the reason why Daniel and Joseph were liked wherever they went. Joseph in prison, the boss liked him. Potiphar's house, the boss liked him. In Pharaoh's house, Pharaoh liked him. Daniel, four presidents came and liked him. Democratic president, even Republican. Trump liked him. Trump liked him. Obama also liked him. Ross Perot, isn't that the independent guy? He became president and he liked him. Because of this nice thing. The Holy Spirit is our powerful friend. And he said, pecuniary fellow. But I wonder, one that it says, that social intercourse. Where is it? These were, they are giving us the wrong thing. My Bible says it. If you have King James it says that to have social intercourse. Social intercourse with the Holy Spirit. Anybody, you hear intercourse and you think sex, 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 sex. See, because I said intercourse, everybody's quiet. It means what it means. Yeah. It says to have social intercourse. Look, this is about, we're talking the Holy Spirit. That's how intimate you must be. Social. Not just spiritual, not just ministry related, even the social intercourse. Everybody, every Christian. Look, I'm telling you, if you do what I'm saying, not what I'm saying, what the Bible is saying, where you now interact deeply with the Holy Spirit, your life will never be the same. Your future will never be the same. Your ministry will never be the same. Even your job, your home will never, never be the same. You will operate above normal. Yeah. They'll call you abnormal, but in a positive way. May you receive that power of social intercourse with the Holy Spirit, of pecuniary help from the Holy Spirit. So me, why do you think you're here? I am partnershiping with the Holy Spirit. That's why he brought you. And he'll keep bringing you. Because in my ability, with this accent, you can't be here. You won't be here. The way I am, you won't be here. I'm serious. There are certain jobs you will never qualify, but they will qualify you because of the Holy Spirit. There are certain interviews you will never pass, but the Holy Spirit will take you through. Believe it, we carry something better than the world. When the world is coming to an interview with files, we should be able to come with anointing. Yes, we should be able to come with anointing. We should be able to come with anointing. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 1 that Daniel and the four Hebrew boys, in Daniel 1 verse 17 and 20, Bible says God gave them by his Spirit. He gave them knowledge, skill in learning, and wisdom. Yeah. And verse 20 says in everything, and given, and in matters, all matters of wisdom and understanding, that the king inquired of them. He found these guys 10 times better than all the other magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. That shall be your story in school. That shall be your story at the workplace. They are looking for people to replace you. They said, no, keep this one. Keep this one. Because he's too precious. They will fire others, they will keep you. They will fire others, but they will keep you. Because of your partnership with the Holy Spirit. Christian, rise up. Rise up. And take your power. Portable Jesus is presenting himself in the Holy Spirit. I don't know why. I don't know why you want to cheat yourself like that. Why are you sitting down like that? Cheating yourself. Ignoring the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why you are the way you are. And the way you are is what? Like what? What are some of the negative things affecting you? Like what? Give us some that affect others.
Stress.
Stress. That's why you're stressed. More.
Lack.
What?
Broke.
You're broke. I didn't say it. He said you are broke. I know you are real. I thought you are real. I say you are broke. Hey, I said you're okay. Say you are stressed. That's why you're stressed. That's why you're broke. What other things are others, not you?
Illness.
They are sick. That's why you're sick. That's why you're lukewarm. He said lukewarm in your Christianity. Christian fervor. Ability to pray. Ability to preach. Ability, stamina. Look, I am not young by any means in terms of physical. Look, but I know that you think I was 23. I don't blame you. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. I can do press-ups. These young people, they can't. I've tried it at home. They can't. Oh, yeah. They've tried it. They failed. No, it's not by might. It's not by... You are supposed to be stronger than this. You are supposed to be richer than this. You are supposed to be wiser than this. You are supposed to be more spiritual than this. You are supposed to be more powerful than this. You are supposed to be more youthful than you are now. I'm telling you. But you've left the source of all these things behind. Yeah. Joseph was such a little boy. A refugee. A slave. But he was so attractive. Hey, Bible says by the anointing, even the virgins do love thee. Anointing makes you lovely. Makes you attractive. I mean, can you imagine? You are in romance with the Holy Spirit. Social intercourse. You are deep. You're going to bear fruits for the Holy Spirit. You must take steps towards the anointing. Clap for the Lord Jesus. There is no way a Christian should live without the Holy Spirit. Sit down. Your life has changed forever. Your Christianity has changed forever. Amen. Your prayer life has changed forever. Amen. Your soul winning activity has changed forever. Amen. Your ministry has changed forever. Amen. Your finances is changing forever. Amen. Your mindset, your thinking is changed forever. Amen. Because of the anointing. Amen. Yeah. How is that? The virgins do love you because of the anointing. Who is there? By means of that ointment, the virgins are falling in love with you. Yeah. They don't know how to, but they will still say, I love you. Yes. Virgins are people who don't know how to. You know what? How to. You know how to. Well, what's brought you the baby? How to. But they still say they love you. That means that they are not loving you for physical gains. Because they don't know about sex. The attraction that brings, that anointing attracts, it's not sexual. It's nothing about sex. They love, they can't explain. They are virgins. They don't know how. They're not talking about sex. There's something higher than sex that is making. That is trying to tell you the anointing, it makes you, it makes you attractive. No, it means that you're married, but it's not the sex they want. Something about you. Just, I want to choose you. I want to give you that job. I want to just make you qualify for this interview. You didn't do well. But look, there was once that I went to interview to become a GI physician. I didn't even know the qualifications. I just, somebody told me, go and apply. And I applied. They chose me. 6 months down the line, they come and they tell me that we don't choose foreigners. It's for citizens. I said, what are you going to do? They said, it's too late. We liked you so much. So we are going to change everything to suit. For the first time, they took somebody who was not a foreigner. And they had to rectify my status to be like them. Glory to God in the highest. All by the anointing. I chose to serve the Lord, to work for the Lord, to preach for the Lord as a physician. And it's only been good. It's only been good. I find favor everywhere by the grace of God. Yeah. Many people tried to marry her. They couldn't. In my little self, I came and said, oh, yes, yes, marry me. Marry me. Marry me. Today, she's in my corner. Then I saw this guy. I said, it's true. Because she was a virgin, she was in love with me. It's the anointing. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That shall be your story. That shall be your story. That shall be your story. Every morning when you wake up, go on your knees and pray. And say, Lord, thank you. Holy Spirit, good morning. It's a fine day. I will not go anywhere without you. Yeah. And when you are in trouble and they are saying, whisper under your breath, Holy Ghost, here we go again. I need your help. He's called the helper. He's called the helper. He's called the advocate, the lawyer, the attorney. He will speak for you. Yeah. He's called the comforter. That's why you're not stressed when you're anointed. Yeah. People ask, but how many jobs do you do? Don't you get tired? No, I get joy. I get joy. I get joy. I am here all night, 10 o'clock to 4 on my feet. Even the people who are not leading, they sleep. I am still walking on. That shall be your story in Jesus' name. I will never stop being a Christian. Hey, look, even if heaven was not promised, just portable Jesus is good enough. Portable Jesus. Somebody say portable Jesus will give you a good life. Even if heaven is not promised, we die like chicken, I will still be a Christian. Oh yeah, receive an anointing in Jesus' name. I will still be a Christian. I will still be a Christian. I don't care. There's too much in this Christian thing to backslide. Insult me all you want. And many of you have insulted me before. I'm still here. Oh, yeah. And I will be in Jesus' name. If they insult you or they offend you and you leave the church or you leave Christianity, you are. No, I was going to say you have whatever you put him, join the blanks. Failure, you are a fisherman, you are a foodian, you are food, you are friendly. All the F's. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Steps to the anointing. They say you are a flyer. Okay, frequent flyer. Okay. Yeah, somebody say you're a fish. No. I almost said you're a fool. I will never say it. No. Tell somebody, never leave this portable Jesus. Never. The last but one. Yeah. Number 5. You must be anointed because King Saul was not transformed into another man until he was anointed. He was not transformed until he was anointed. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. Then Samuel took the vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you to be captain over his inheritance? This guy was a timid guy, fearful, insecure guy. Do you know that? Chapter 9, I think the last verse 27 or 21 or something. They were trying to make him king. He said, no, I am the smallest of my tribe is the smallest. I think it's verse 27 or 21. Check it. He said, the only thing that changed him to become king was the anointing. That made him big. That made him strong. That made him qualified. That made him secure. Strong enough was the anointing. Any position that you're supposed to take, there's an anointing for it. There's an anointing. The Holy Spirit can equip you for it. Never say. One time, Reverend Nick came and told me, you know, my job, I am one of the clerks that they want me to be a manager. And I said, me who had been negotiating for him. He said, I don't know whether I should take it. I'm going to pray about it. I said, you're going to pray about what? And he came to tell me I should pray for him. I said, I won't pray for you. I won't waste my prayer on this. Go and take the job. Yeah. God says you shall be above always and never beneath. He's making you above and you say no, you're praying about it. Certain things you don't have to pray about. It is scriptural already. You are trying to tell God that God is a fool. No. And Saul answered when they said they will make him king, Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And in that smallest tribe, my family is the smallest in that tribe. And of all families, I am the smallest family. Yes, it's the least of all the families. Wherefore then speaketh thou so about me? Why do you say that about me? When you take on the Holy Spirit, what you thought about yourself will go away. Your insecurities will go away. I'm telling you, the things he will do with you, he will give you confidence. Look, there is no procedure. Sometimes they have procedures done in other places, other well-known GI centers. Then I will be there. Then Dr. Biden will call me and say, Dr. Clinton said, they are bringing a difficult case. I want you to do it. Hey. When they asked him why, he said, oh, I think your hand is blessed. He told me. What word he didn't have was the anointing. Yeah. Yeah. The word is, I think your hand is anointed. Your hand shall be anointed. In Jesus' name. Brought some young people, said, you train him. I think he will do better when you train him than when I train him. It shall be your story. Amen. And King Saul, Bible says in 1 Kings, when he was anointed, chapter 10, verse 6. And the Bible says, suddenly he changed. This small boy changed. And verse 6. First Samuel is where we are. Chapter 10, verse 6. I said, calm down. I told you the last time that this time our services are not short. Yeah. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you shall prophesy with them and you shall be turned into another man. That's you. You will become another man. You become a different man. You become an upgraded man. I mean an upgraded woman, an upgraded student, an upgraded musician, an upgraded wife, an upgraded child, an upgraded pastor. I am believing God for an upgrade of the anointing and you shall see it in Jesus' name. Yeah. So, every position that you are given, ask God, give me an anointing for this position. What you did for Saul, in his timid state, he became a good guy. At a point, he became too confident because of the anointing. He even started misbehaving. So, when you ask for the anointing, ask for humility too. So, you become like David and not Saul. Number 6, you must be anointed because King David, the anointed psalmist and writer of scripture, ascribed all his blessings to the holy anointing. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Now, highly spiritual people recognize the powerful effects of the anointing on different areas of their lives. You see, they would talk like I'm talking, but you think they are being proud. But they are just acknowledging the power of God. That in themselves, what I'm trying to tell you is that I'm nothing. I'm only a foreign refugee type of alien type of whatever it is that God has transformed by His Spirit. And you can't deny it that it's a blessing. That was Joseph. That was Daniel. And David said in Psalm 89 and verse 20, he ascribed everything to the anointing. It's time to tell the Lord, I want to ascribe everything to you. My marriage is working because of the anointing. My children will do well. Say it, because of the anointing. My job will do, my school will do well, my grades will be well because of the anointing. I will have scholarships because of the anointing. I will obtain a good job because of the anointing. I will have a pay raise because of the anointing. Begin it. There's nothing wrong with confessing in faith. I told you the thing, it is social intercourse. There's nothing, if you say this is my wife, there's nothing wrong because you are deep into her. Social intercourse, that's the Holy Spirit. Communion, koinonia. There's nothing wrong. Just ascribe to portable Jesus. said, I have found David my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him. Then, look what will happen to him. With whom, because of that, my hand shall be established. God's hand will be with you everywhere you go because of the anointing. My arm also shall strengthen him. You become strong. They can't move you from your position. They can't. You're strong. You're strong. He brings strength. Then he goes on. He ascribed everything. And he said, the enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. When you are anointed, wickedness, wicked people. One day I prayed in the bathroom. I've told you this before. About somebody distressing me at work. It took 2 days. The person was out. I didn't just lift a finger. That's David saying that the arm of the Lord will do it. David was with Goliath. A man, Saul, who had lost the anointing, had been running away from. The anointing had been put on David. Immediately he arrived. The same Goliath that Saul had been running away from was struck with one stone. One stone. One stone of yours will do miracles with the anointing. And the girls who were spiritual saw it. They said, Saul has killed his thousands. David, 10,000. They realized the anointing has shifted. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So David, at one point, you know, when you go read everything, at one point, when the spirit, he went to sin. And then the spirit was being taken away from him. Do you know what he said? Psalm 51 verse 11. He said, Lord, cast me not away from your presence. And don't take the Holy Spirit away from me. Don't take the Holy Spirit. Whatever you do, you can kick me. You can fire me. You can chastise me. But please, don't take your spirit from me. The man was desperate. Listen, which is what's coming to you, you begin to commune with the Holy Spirit and you see his effects in your life. You will guard his presence so strongly. Do you think it was a normal thing for Joseph, the wife, the most beautiful girl in the whole East was Potiphar's wife. And she comes from the bathroom. Joseph, come and scratch my back for me. And then as Joseph is scratching the back, he drops the towel. Oh, let me pick it up. Joseph, don't run away. Come, Joseph. Joseph, put it back for me, Joseph. Put it back for me, Joseph. And the woman was wet from the shower. And still David says, how can I do this and sin against God? He was so desperate. He said, look, I am nothing without the Holy Spirit. You think you're something, you ain't seen nothing yet. Your upgraded version in the Lord. Bible says we are complete in him. Your real self hasn't shown up yet. We will be having testimonies about your new job, about your new ministry, about your new style, about your new power, about your prayer life because of the anointing. Cast me not away. And finally, Moses, you need to be anointed because the anointing is essential, because Moses refused to continue anything without the anointing. Moses refused. The Bible says in Exodus 33, from verse 15, he said to him, if your presence does not go with me, then don't carry me any further. Listen, this should be your prayer as you go home. That Lord, enough is enough. Foolishly, I've lived my life, or ignorantly, without the communion of the Holy Spirit. But it's over. It is over. If you can be bold to pray this, if from now your anointing will not be with me, then end my life. Then don't take me any further. Be bold. That's the boldness that brought Jacob the blessing, and God loved him. He even said, I can die trying to steal this anointing. The mother said, don't be afraid. May the blood be upon me. Jacob said, I'll do it. For a blessing, I'll do it. I'll do it. That desperation must come to you. And every Christian who knows the worth of Christ, never say in the name of Jesus when you cannot acknowledge the Holy Spirit. You are joking. You are a liar. Because Jesus that you are calling, when he comes to you, you reject him. You rejected the form he came. The comforter. The helper. Moses said, Lord, don't. And you know when Moses prayed this prayer, what happened? Verse 16. God responded positively. He said, and Moses explained to God why he's asking that. He said, for how shall it be known here that I and your people have found favor in your sight? Is it not that you go with us by your anointing? So shall we be different or separated, I and your people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth. He said, if you anoint me, I'll be different from everybody else. I'll be unique. An anointed person is unique. There's something about him you cannot explain. It's an aura of God's presence. It's an aura of God's power. It's an aura of the presence of Christ. And you can't touch it, but you know it's there. You can't explain it. You can't obtain it. You can't deny it. Because you know there's something about this guy. There's something about this girl. I just don't have the words. But you know, you do the training, it will work better than if I do the training. But you know, you do this thing, it will work better. When you are anointed, the day you decide, I want to resign, they will beg you to increase your pay. Because we can't let go. Laban said to the anointed Jacob, I have seen by experience that the Lord has blessed me because of you, for your sake. That shall be your testimony. And when this guy explained, Moses, that this is the reason why, Lord, I want you to anoint me, then the Lord responded in verse 17. The Lord responded. Where did he go? The Lord responded. Shakulia Sapranda. 33 verse 17, please. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. Anytime you call on God for his spirit, you find favor. God is desperate for people who will want his spirit. And I know thee by name. Then, verse 18, he says, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Prove it to me. Then the Lord said, verse 19, and God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. That's the anointed person. God's goodness goes before you. You don't understand, but things work for you. Joseph, things work for him. God's goodness will go before you. I will let my goodness go before you. That's the anointed person. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. You're going, you don't know. A name is working before you. A name is gone before the interview. A name has gone before the pay raise. A name has gone before that outreach. A name has gone before that interview and before that exam. I'll let my name go before you. And I'll be gracious to you. It means external supernatural help will come to you. I will show, I'll be gracious before you. And I'll show mercy for you. May that be your story. May the Lord anoint you. May the Lord grant you his spirit. May you never deny the Holy Spirit. May you, from now, may you invite him. May you join him. May you let him participate. May you be into the Holy Spirit. Put your hands together. Let's rise to our feet. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Wow. Wow. You know, God brought you here for a purpose. To transform your life. You know, it takes getting to know only one person. One connection can change your life. You need to just meet one person. But today, that person is the Holy Spirit. Put your hand on your heart. Tell the Lord that, forgive me for forgetting about you. Portable Jesus, Holy Spirit, I didn't intend to forsake you. I was too ignorant. Many times, I was too self-centered to think of you. But I need you. I need your help. I need supernatural power. Make me like David. Make me like Jacob, Joseph, Daniel, who were desperate for your spirit. Make me like Elisha. Give me a double portion of what I should have received long ago as a Christian. I trust you, Father. From now on, I refuse to move any further in my Christian life without your presence, the anointing. I mean it like Moses. Therefore, respond. Anoint me. Holy Spirit, come. Help me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
We believe the Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive, Bartlett, Tennessee, this and every Sunday at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Be blessed. Singing praise, I come to love to stand there.